We are entering an exponential curve of innovation because AI itself is going to be used to create new innovations. The real value now will be emotional intelligence, like how do we connect with each other? And now I can, even today, put on a pair of smart glasses or these virtual glasses, and then I can say, hey, let me take me to Paris today and let me experience the Eiffel Tower. It is going to become so advanced that you will not, maybe in a year or two, maybe maximum 5 years, you will not be able to distinguish between virtual reality and real reality. Where are you spending, you and your team, where are you spending most of your time? Where are you making most of your mistakes? Where are you losing most of your customers? Try to map out all those scenarios and pick top three that you say, okay, you know, this is where we are spending most of our time. Now about the fear of AI controlling our mind, humans always want security and certainty. And when we introduce something paradigm shifting, we feel insecure. So this is not an uncommon reaction. I have news for you. We are already being controlled by AI right now. All the news that we see on the TV, on the web, it's all controlled by AI algorithms. So if you have a device in your pocket, which is a smartphone, every component on that device was designed and manufactured using AI. What is actually already happening in the world, it's been happening for almost 2 decades now.
Hi, and welcome to the AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I've got with me Manoj. Manoj and I have chatted a couple times in the past, and I'm really excited today to have you online with us here as we chat a little bit about AI and all the things that are going on here in 2025. Manoj, for people that may not be as familiar with you as I am, would you mind giving everybody kind of an elevator pitch of who it is that you are and who it is that you serve?
Sure, yeah. So Manoj Agarwal, I've been in technology space for about 30 years. I've worked with a lot of startups, helped them build their technology. So I'm Chief Innovation Officer and founder of a company called Tetra Noodle Technologies. We are an AI engineering company and we build AI systems for other businesses. So as I was saying, like I worked with a lot of startups. Two of those startups are now public companies. And then we also served Fortune 500 companies like Microsoft, IBM, Pearson Education, T-Mobile. I have 4 patents in AI and wrote a couple of books on technology. The AI systems that we have built have impacted over 10 million lives through education, medicine, logistics, real estate, multiple industries. People who we serve are primarily small to medium-sized businesses between $5 million and $100 million revenue who really want to accelerate their growth and take advantage of this transformative technology.
And transformative it is. It's been amazing to watch what's happening. I know just literally last night, shortly before I decided to call it an evening, I saw that OpenAI has now announced their newest deep research. I'm sure you've probably been paying attention to that as well. We know that changes just happen so rapidly right now. In fact, that's one of the questions I wanted to talk to you about, Manoj. You know, I think so many business owners in our audience look at AI and they're one, excited about it, but two, they're a little overwhelmed because there's so many changes. What recommendations do you have for your clients and just business owners in general, Manoj? How should they be taking a look at AI and how do they avoid that overwhelm from going, oh my goodness, there's just so much happening? Any recommendations?
Yeah, see, the thing is now we are entering an exponential curve of innovation because AI itself is going to be used to create new innovations. Yes. So human mind is not going to be able to catch up. So there is no need to stay on top of every news. Like just think about a political news or any other type of news. Whatever is supposed to find you will eventually find you. So what I recommend to clients is don't look externally and try to say, okay, I need to catch up. Look internally and say, what are the business processes that I need to optimize and I need to automate and take advantage of this opportunity to really increase my profitability, get my time back, increase efficiency, build a better culture within my team. Focus internally and even on your personal development side. I know you are a big person of faith. And AI, believe it or not, can be the glue between your personal development, increasing your faith in whatever you believe in. So that's where I recommend we focus rather than catching up on everything that is happening in the world of AI.
I think that's really good advice. Yeah, it's so easy, I think, to get overwhelmed and to go, oh my goodness, I just can't keep up. You know, one of the things I noticed that when we first chatted that I was so impressed with you about, Manoj, is your focus isn't just on AI. AI is obviously a big part of that, but you also talk about meditation, you talk about traveling, you talk about neuroscience. How do those all come together to you for that successful entrepreneur or business leader?
See, AI is something that will increase our cognitive abilities, meaning everybody is thinking at an Einstein level now. We can find solutions to the problems. But the real value now will be emotional intelligence, like how do we connect with each other? So as a client, how do I figure out what does the client need and then go back to my systems and AI and technology to solve that problem? That emotional intelligence will come through going, learning about other humans, having more conversations like this one we are having. Travel actually gives you much broader perspective on the sum total of humanity. You will experience different cultures, different ways of solving the same problems. Because at the end of the day, when I look around the globe, we may be speaking different languages or we may have very, very different points of view. But when we boil it down, all humans have very similar problems. We just tend to solve them in very different ways. So neuroscience, travel, meditation, these are all the tools to increase your emotional intelligence. And once again, go within, because the external sort of intellect is now a realm of machines. Mm-hmm. An internal intellect or that empathy or that belief systems, these are the realm of humans, and they will become more and more valuable moving forward.
I love how you talk about travel in particular. I think that's something that, especially as the world changed in 2020 with COVID and all that. And I think people are still trying to, in some cases, figure out what they should be doing related to that. But I have found that travel has really opened my eyes, not just for the enjoyment that it brings, but understanding other cultures, understanding where people are at. And probably more than anything, I love what you just mentioned there, Manoj. It's the fact that we all have very similar issues we're trying to resolve. And sometimes we have different ways that we go about that, but I mean, my goodness, I'm married and my wife and I often have different ways that we try to get to the same objective. So it's not surprising that as we travel the world, we would find individuals and cultures that had similar issues, but different ways of addressing them. How do you think AI will help us as a society understand our brethren throughout the world better? Any thoughts on that?
I mean, we are just starting at AI, as we know, has been around since the 60s, but the real journey is just starting now. So what we are going to see is new technologies layered on top of this AI, AR, VR, these type of experiences will become mainstream. The key is that, we are limited by our time and a physical location to experience the world. So as we were discussing, travel is a big part of our journey. But let's say I can even today put on a pair of smart glasses or these virtual glasses, and then I can say, hey, let me take me to Paris today, and let me experience the Eiffel Tower, and I can do that today. But the thing is, it is going to become so advanced that you will not, maybe in a year or two, maybe maximum 5 years, you will not be able to distinguish between virtual reality and real reality. And so that opens up huge possibilities about how you experience the world, how many different perspectives you can gain in a very short amount of time, and how do you incorporate that into your work. So, one quick example that I share is, a lot of healthcare professionals, even surgeons, when I talk to them, they want to explore other ways of healing people, you know, Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, you know, medicine from the Amazon. Like, there is rich systems of medicine for thousands of years, which are almost not accessible because, you know, in order to become a healthcare professional, a doctor, a surgeon, you have to really devote your life for decades, and you don't have the capacity to, like, explore other things, you know. But now with AI, you will be able to say, hey, you know, I'm a surgeon, but for supplemental healing, I want to use Chinese medicine. I want to use Tai Chi. I want to use yoga. You know, these type of paradigms will become mainstream because you are able to combine multiple modalities in what you do.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's one of the exciting aspects of AI as we look at it, and its ability to not necessarily create things that don't exist, although that's exciting when it comes to art and all that as well, but just the opportunity, like you said, to recreate an experience at the Eiffel Tower or at the Louvre, or for that matter, deep in the Amazon jungle, if that's what I want to do, and be able to do that quickly and bring that to us. I'm going to date myself a bit, but I remember watching some Star Trek TV shows and movies where they had the holodeck where, you know, I remember thinking, how cool would that be that we'd be able to walk onto a holographic studio and make things appear as though they were real? And I never really thought until the last year that that might actually happen in my lifetime. I think with the pace of things as they're moving, you know, I'm 55, and I absolutely think that I will see those things in the very near future, you know, probably the next 5 years or so. I'd love your thoughts. You know, what do you think about that, and is pulling those things together? Any thoughts on that at all, Manoj?
Absolutely. We are already there. You know, 3D technology, all of these, like, sensory, you know, now there are devices which are even enhancing our sensory perceptions. And speaking of age, you know, I think most people in our age group today, we will most likely be living for about 100 to 125 years. Longevity is going to be, like, human lifespan is going to increase as a result of artificial intelligence. So, you know, the way that we have thought about human life, the world is about to change in ways that we cannot imagine yet. But in 10 years, this world is going to look very, very different. I'll give you a quick, small example.
Please.
That may be relatable to a lot of people. I think in the next 10 years, driving by human beings will be made illegal.
And, interesting.
So, you know, imagine the world that we will be living in that case.
Well, it certainly makes sense because, you know, AI is going to follow the rules a whole lot better than most humans do, and probably be more safe, certainly more aware and paying more attention. I got to admit, I'd love the day I could just get in my car and it would bring me where I needed to go instead of me having to pay attention. And I like to drive. But yeah, I agree with you on that. I definitely think that's coming. Let's talk a little bit more practical day to day. If I'm a business owner out there, Manoj, in as we're recording this in February 2025, probably go live February, March, as I'm taking a look at things as a business owner, trying to figure out how do I bring AI into my business? How do I use it to empower not only myself, but my team and particularly my staff? How do I do that? Any advice for that business owner who in 2025 has said, okay, we watched from the sidelines, we used a little bit of ChatGPT, but now I need some practical implementations as to how I can use this in my business. Any suggestions for how they might go about that?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, try to think about any business. 80% of our results, meaning revenue, profits, and all that, come from 20% of our efforts. And the rest of the 80% in any business is basically mundane, repetitive work, you know, which we call the drudgery of work, you know, filling out spreadsheets, entering data, you know, copying, pasting data from you know, one place to another, all of this, right? Paperwork, all of that. So think, where are you spending, you and your team, where are you spending most of your time? Where are you making most of your mistakes? Where are you losing most of your customers? Try to map out all those scenarios and pick top three. Pick top three that you say, okay, you know, this is where we are spending most of our time. And the second thing is, don't just limit yourself to ChatGPT or Claude or AI, which are LLMs. think about automation, look into robotics, look into RPA, look into blockchain, which is basically going to be the infrastructure for trust. So broaden your horizons in terms of what technologies are coming together and how business is going to be shaped. So let me paint a picture for you. In next 5 years, every business is going to have a digital brain that will be running the business. And alongside these digital brains, so this digital brain is going to have all the knowledge about your business, all the proprietary knowledge about your business. It'll be helping you make faster decisions and more innovation faster. And then layered on top of it will be a whole bunch of AI agents, which will be equivalent to your departments or your employees doing these mundane repetitive work. And your team will be monitoring. You mentioned Star Trek. Think we are entering that Star Trek era where the team is only going to be responsible to manage these digital systems to make sure they are moving in the right direction and there is no human intervention needed. But that's the future we are going towards. So start building with that vision in mind, one layer at a time. You know, peel off the onion one layer at a time by automating the first few tasks and going from there.
I think, you know, as we go into 2025, I think that's great advice. But you also hit on something that I think is going to be, to me at least, one of the big things. I believe 2025, we're going to see some monumental shifts in. And that's the combination of automation and AI, often referred to as agentic AI, where we can actually have AI go out, give it instructions, not just one instruction, but multiple instructions to interact with multiple different applications and websites and all you name it, and seeing that really come to life. We've already seen some of that with some of the releases with ChatGPT recently, but I think we're just scratching the surface there. Now, I'll readily admit my crystal ball's a little cloudy and oftentimes scratched, but I'm curious what your perspective is, Manoj, as we look into 2025. How important do you think agentic AI, and again, that for those that may not understand that, that combination of AI and automation together, how impactful do you think that's going to become for us in 2025?
This is absolutely essential, not just impactful, because AI in itself, think about it this way, right? A human body has a mind that can take in stimulus, make decisions. But if we don't couple that with action with our hands and feet and our bodies, that decision is not actually going to materialize into the world. Right. So we make a decision, then we say, OK, let me do something with that decision, take some action. So it's equivalent of saying in the AI world, the LLM is the thing that is bringing the smarts. It can help you make a decision. But now that decision needs to be implemented, you know, working within the real world, you know, pushing paper, sending emails, sending purchase orders, receiving goods, whatever that business is. That is where agentic AI is going to shine. And this will be the foundation for the next level of AI, which will be organizational AI. So think again, the same thing that I said, we are moving towards an era where every organization, even governments, will have a digital mind inside them. And, this agentic AI will be the foundation for all of this.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's absolutely where we're headed with that. Talk to us. I know some of the people that may be listening are going, that just brings fear to their heart to hear such a thing. How do you believe that society and AI will be able to address those fears of the big brother, of the, you know, the mind of being controlled by AI? Any thoughts on that as we take a look at that as a larger picture and maybe a fear that many people may have?
Sure. So let me give you a first historical perspective and then modern perspective as well. Okay. So humans always want security and certainty. And when we introduce something paradigm shifting, we feel insecure. So this is not an uncommon reaction. So Think about in 1500s when the printing press was invented, there was a lot of fear. Hey, how is society going to change when people have more knowledge? Because before the printing press, the books were only the realm of kings and
Yes.
queens and really, really rich people. So now when the masses start to have this information, there was a lot of fear. How are they going to react? Are we going to be able to control them? Are we, you know, all of these things, right? Then when the automobile was invented, there was a fear. This is a vehicle of the devil because it spewed out smoke and made a lot of noise. So,
yes.
Now let's look at the modern, you know, era. When the internet was invented, some of you may remember there was a fear of Y2K problem.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people ran to the grocery stores and bought out all the toilet paper and all that. So this is not unusual reaction. The thing is, innovation happens slowly. If I ask people, do you remember when the internet became part of your life? Do you remember the specific day? Nobody will be able to point it out.
Right, exactly.
Do you remember when the smartphone became part of your life? So innovation happens slowly, and it's going to be the same way in this modern age as well. And now about the fear of AI controlling our mind, I have news for you. We are already being controlled by AI right now. This
yeah.
conversation itself is possible because AI is working in the background and bringing, you know, helping us talk to each other in high definition, in real time, in transcoding our voice. All the news that we see on the TV, on the web, it's all controlled by AI algorithms. So if you have
Right.
a device in your pocket, which is a smartphone, every component on that device was designed and manufactured using AI. All the apps are using AI. So people who are fearful about AI, they really need to understand what is actually already happening in the world. It's been happening for almost 2 decades now.
Oh, I agree with you. I think you're spot on with that. And I think, you know, the march is on. We're not going to be able to turn this around. It's kind of like you said when the steam engine came out. No, but there was no putting that genie back in the bottle, so to speak. That is just part of where we're headed as we move forward. From a technologist's perspective, you've had a lot of experience there in that. What do you see as what businesses may expect in, say, the next 3 years out of AI? How do you envision that AI and its different forms are going to impact business? And also, apart from that, because you are interested in meditation and travel and in neuroscience, how do you envision they're going to affect or impact us on a personal basis?
So businesses, in my opinion, what is going to, I'll share one statistic, which will be a little bit surprise for most of you, maybe. But Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, he has said that $1 billion company is going to be run by one employee in mm-hmm. the next 5 years. Okay. So think around that again. You know, our growth in any business is limited by the resources and the team we can have around us. And basically, any business who can buy top talent, you know, top university graduates, top players, top everything, top management team, they are the winners, right?
Mm.
So now imagine you can create a board of directors who are comprised of Elon Musk and Warren Buffett and all of these names, and they are advising you in how to run your business. So obviously that vision of $1 billion company run by one employee is coming to life. So what I see in 3 years or 4 years, think big and then multiply it with 10. And the way to achieve it will be understand how much automation you want in your, on the one side, there will be completely automated businesses. And on one side, there will be more manual plus automated businesses. The value will be higher when you have automation plus manual human intervention. So think about Rolls-Royce. Rolls-Royce is partly handmade.
Yes.
And Kia and Toyota and Honda, they are completely automated machines. You know, they are manufactured using
exactly
complete
yeah.
automation. So you will be required to think about your business in that sense and say, hey, do I want to sell a lot of Hondas and Toyotas and I can automate that very easily? Or I want to sell less, but I want to be the Rolls-Royce, but I want to have more manual control over what I sell and how I sell. So that's the landscape where we are moving towards.
Boy, I love that comparison, Manoj. I had not thought of it that way, but I think you're absolutely right. That is absolutely where we're headed with things as we move forward. And there's pros and cons. I mean, a Rolls-Royce is a beautiful automobile, but I'm really happy with my Honda minivan as well. So, you know, I absolutely get where you're going with that. And I think that makes a tremendous amount of sense. I love that, as the way you've described that and brought that in. One of the things I know that people talk about a lot, and I don't know if you've got a thought on this or not, but there's a big debate about how important prompting will be with AI in the future. My belief, and you don't have to agree by any means, but is that whether we call it prompting or anything else, AI really amplifies our skill and experience. And so that ability for us to effectively communicate what we desire for AI to respond is always going to be critical, whether we call it prompting or something else. But I'd love your thoughts, because you've definitely got a unique perspective on where the technology is going. What are your thoughts on this discussion about prompting, and is it relevant to even learn nowadays for the average user?
For the time being, prompting will be the key to interact with these systems. So think again. Let's look at historical perspective of technology. Right, when the mm-hmm. when the computers came out, they were as big as one room, and you know, the way to interact with them was through punch cards, and you have to be very, very technical and very, very careful in how to interact with a computer. And if you got it wrong, you'll probably have to wait for days, if not, months to re-engage with that computer because you made one mistake. And now today, you give a five-year-old iPhone and, don't tell them anything about it. And within 15 minutes, they will be, scrolling and looking at the photos and all of that, right?
So true.
Right? So, the way that technology works is first we come up with a raw foundation, and then we make it easier and easier and easier to interact with that technology. So prompting today is equivalent to punch cards of 1960s, which will become easier and easier. So yes, in the time being, you must learn prompting, but don't rely on that being your retirement kind of plan. Because in 5 years, 10 years, it will become almost as easy as an iPhone to say, hey, this AI is so smart, it will know exactly what you mean, even without you actually expressing everything. I'll give you an example. I'm on a board of a company which can detect whether you have COVID or not by listening to one cough into your mobile device. You can cough into the mobile device and it will tell you whether you have COVID or not.
Amazing. Wow. I think that's a great way to look at it. I think that's great. You know, my iPhone still needs me to interact with it in order to add value. But you're right. It's incredibly different than it was when we had punch cards. And so those interfaces and the amount of things that it can do based upon that input definitely will change. I really like the way you put that in perspective there, Manoj. That's fantastic. I'd love to hear your thoughts as we bring kind of the plane into a landing here. One of the reasons we call this the 91-Day AI Transformation Podcast is we've seen with most businesses, as they're starting to integrate AI, they fall into one of two categories. Either I want to do everything today, which isn't possible, or I don't want to do anything today. I just want to forget about it. And we don't think that's the right solution either. We really believe that taking a look at the next quarter, which would be 3 months or 91 days in our case, often is a good time frame to begin or to take the next step either with AI, whether that be to implement, whether that be to deepen, whatever that is. As you're talking to business owners out there, what recommendations might you have for them to do as they look at that next 91 days for AI within their organization? What questions should they be asking themselves, and what goals should they be establishing for their business?
So as I said earlier, first of all, you need to understand your business a little bit, document it, figure out what are the main steps. As a person who does not know about your business, they come to know about you, get aware about you. What is their journey like? How do they get in touch with you? When they become a client, how do you serve them? What are the operations? What are the back-end processes that need to happen? All of these things, once you have laid it out, then you can say, okay, this is where most of my time is being spent, and that's where I will be focused on this quarter. So my advice is do not wait. If you wait, you are already behind. Your competition is going to really squash you if you don't take action right now. But you don't have to boil the ocean. Just start to make sure you take these steps and automate for the next quarter. And then the other thing is think big, because we have these dreams of making millions. Like everybody has these dreams of making millions of dollars, growing exponentially. Now, the human mind cannot even imagine the amount of expansion that is possible now. So think big and push yourself to an insane boundaries where you say, oh, like if I share this with other people, they will not even believe me, because trust me, that is going to be feasible in the next 3 or 4 years. So what do I mean by that? Like, let's say if you are trying to build $1 million business, multiply it with 10 and say, I want to build a $10 million business. You know, if you want to build a $10 million business, multiply it with 10 and say, I want to build a $100 million business, and then work backwards from there. And technology is absolutely there to help you do that. This is what I will say, like change your mindset, AI first mindset, because, we have been in this whole journey of my mind is going to figure it out. As entrepreneurs, we are like, very, very enterprising, and we are resourceful, and we say, okay, my mind is going to figure it out. But now your mind has this insanely wise and vastly knowledgeable entity to help you, which is like almost like a Iron Man suit. You put it on and you become like this superhuman who can achieve amazing things.
Incredible advice, Manoush. Thank you so much for that and for dealing with my throat that all of a sudden got very dry. Just tremendous advice across the board. Manoush, if people would like to reach out and connect with you and learn more about how you work with them and help, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you, Manoush?
Go to my website, manoushagarwal.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. My company website is tretronoodle.com. Either one. I'm easy to find. Just search my name on Google and get in touch and let me know how I can help.
Fantastic. Well, again, I want to thank you for your time today, for joining us. Tremendous insights, and it's great to connect and chat with you again. If you've been listening, I want to thank you for listening with us and being part of the podcast. We appreciate you. This is why we're here. We would love it if you would like the podcast, subscribe, and give us your feedback. With that, everyone, make it a great day, and we'll see you on the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you.